Okay, so let's continue on here. This may be our last year, possibly, on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, as we approach the two-month mark. So I quickly wanted to begin with a couple of haaros that I had since last week on last week's shiur, and that'll actually lead us right into today's shiur, which hopefully will be very interesting. As I mentioned, you know, having a Gemara with Tosefta and back will be useful here. The first section that I want to do in today's shiur focuses on the Tosefta. It's not, you can look it up in your Gemaras if you wish, but it's also right here in source number Aleph. Just to recap quickly what we had at the end of last week's shiur, really to summarize last week's shiur in a short period of time. We discussed the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. We noted a number of issues with the Bavli, with the simple read of the Bavli, and its explanation of the Mishnah of a Nimnin, which was that it's all about...
You have hay here, so it's a scepter, here it's dung.
Sorry?
Different.
Yeah.
Here it's dung, here it's hay. That's all.
Right, yeah, there's different versions of the Tosefta. You know, different lines, I've seen it, and yes, I noticed between looking up the Chazon Yecheskel Tosefta Kivshuta, the regular Tosefta, and the various ones I found online, it was in like five different places, so yes, I can feel that. But last time we talked about was the Bavli's explanation of a Nimnin as pricing out, as pricing out the Gemara, here you go. Here's, no, these are printed on both sides. Meaning only on one side, sorry, as opposed to a double-sided sheet, so just take one of each. Let's start that again, for people who are listening. Again, we said the Bavli's explanation of a nimnin, meaning to actually price out the animal, was troublesome. We brought a number of kashas as to why that was troublesome. We then looked at the Yerushalmi's explanation, which at first glance, the way we saw it explained by Rabbi Yashiv, the way we saw it explained by the Rajba, was that the Yerushalmi understands a nimnin to be, you can't create a chabura lechatchila on Yom Tov, you can't assign a certain number of people. On the other hand, we, towards the end of this year, moved away from that, number one, because of Sfara. It's hard to understand why it would be aser for someone to say to his friend, I'd like to join you in a group that's going to split this animal. If we're not talking about any money, any mekach memkar whatsoever. And also we tried to move away from that. We did see... other reasons as to why that was hard to understand, and we pointed out the Karban Ha'eda actually read the Yerushalmi differently. Nimnin, according to the Karban Ha'eda's reading, was to make a group and price out the meat. And that which the Yerushalmi opened with in the Gemara, in the actual Talmud, and it said, once you've got five, you can make 10, that's referring to this next group coming in and saying, we will join at the same price that you did without naming a price, or even you could say that they could add, but no one would disagree, that you can lechatchila make a group of people provided you have no actual prices mentioned, even if you're making this group for the first time. On Yom Tov, according to the Karban Ha'eda, that was an agreement between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, and we suggested that reading the Bavli that way, as a nimnin, would provide benefits as well to the Bavli, and that's how we finished this year. Now, it's very interesting. One of the sources that we didn't look at was the Tosefta, and the Tosefta is particularly of note, because we actually quote either a brisa that's almost identical to the Tosefta or the Tosefta itself in both the Bavli and the Yerushalmi last week. And if you look back, we had discussed within the Yerushalmi whether what it brought there was to support its point or to bring another viewpoint, and we've tossed up both as possibilities. According to the Rajba's view, the Tani of the Yerushalmi, which quotes this Tosefta, or again, a similar brisa that we're about to see, according to the Rajba's view, that would be to be soser, what the Gemara had said, the diuk from the Mishnah, and that there was one opinion expressed in the Mishnah, which was that you can't even make a group, and the Tosefta, or other Brisa, was coming to say that you can make a group, you just can't say a certain amount of money, I'm participating by giving you a Sela, I'm participating by giving you three Sela. On the other hand, according to the Korban Ha'eda, the way we explained it last time is that this is actually in support of what the Yerushalmi is saying, and the way the Yerushalmi is understanding the Mishnah, namely that even that when the Yerushalmi is talking about forming a group, lechatchila, it's talking about forming a group with money. And therefore, the Braisa slash Tosefta, which a Tosefta really is a type of Braisa, I don't want to get into too many semantics here, but the point is, according to the Karban Ha'eda, when the Gemara quotes that, it's in support of the way he was understanding the Mishnah. So here it is. And it's actually formulated slightly differently than what we saw. It says the Tosefta source number one, Ketzad ein nimnin al habehema biyom tov. How is it that ein nimnin al habehema biyom tov? Meaning we had a Mishnah ein nimnin al habehema biyom tov, which was very complicated. How should we understand that? What does that mean? Asks the Tana of this Tosefta.
The words are a little bit different in this Tosefta.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, there's a number of hagos. You'll notice at the bottom, they on the side, they should have hagos agra. And there are various hagos in the different versions.
Okay, well, usually, okay, I'm just, it says, betchila.
Yes, so, okay. Yeah, so Lieberman in his footnote, actually, on Tosefta Kavshuta, says that betchila was left out of this version of the Tos Sofer. Based on what we've seen, last time we talked about how lechatchila was a very hard word to understand.
Right.
If you're understanding, again, you know, for sure the Yerushalmi, Kipshuto, Lechatchila or Batchila makes sense. If you're reading the Bavli, which was essentially one of the strongest questions of the Tiferes Yisrael, to begin, is that the word Lechatchila doesn't really seem to fit. It's Lechatchila or Bidiyeved. You can never set a price for it. So it's not 100% clear that that actually is supposed to be there. Again, Rabbi Lieberman suggests that it is supposed to be there and it slipped out. You know, he's certainly much more of a Tosefta scholar than I am. So, Ketzad ein nimnin lechatchila betchila ala behema biyom tov, lo yomar lo, you should not say, what does this mean? You should not say, hareini imcha besela, hareini imcha b'shtayim. Don't tell the other person, I'll join with you one sela's worth, I'll join with you for two sela. Ela omer lo hareini imcha lemechza leshlish v'revia, I'll split it with you. I'll split it with you halfway, I'll split it with you a third of the way, I'll split it with you a quarter of the way. By the way, just to put this out there now, when you're reading this, who's talking to who? Is this two Chabura members? Is this a buyer, a seller? What's, how are you guys understanding this? Because this will be Nogea for later on in this year.
No, it could be two different things, right?
That's why I'm asking. How would you, what would you think?
I would view it as the buyer.
You'd view it as the buyer talking to the seller. Yeah. And saying, Hareini Imcha is, I will buy this from you for a sela. Or yeah. I will buy one sela's worth of meat from you. Interesting.
And instead, you should be saying, I will take one third or one...
One half from you. Okay. Any alternate reads, or everybody agrees with that?
It's good enough for me. It's good enough for Howie.
Okay.
But we all make mistakes in life,
Jeff. Well, wait a minute. Maybe it's a person who wants to join a group.
So that's what it sounded like to me at first reading.
Right.
So I'm only...
That's
no.
You have okay.
The person who's joining the group is who I view as the buyer. He's buying into the group.
Yeah, he's buying into
one second. The group. Are we talking to the seller at all or no?
You guys have an animal, and I say, look, you know.
No. Great. But that's what I'm saying.
I agree with you, Sam.
Okay. It's not the seller. It's not the person who has the animal. It's the person who wants to join the group.
Correct. I think that's...
A group of buyers, right?
So this person is speaking to the other buyers or to the seller? That's really the point that I'm trying to hone in on. So you would say on the other buyers and not to the seller?
Correct.
Okay, that's going to be important for sort of later on. Okay. Keep that in mind. So first things first is to sort of iron this out with the Yerushalmi. If you look into Sefta Kavshuta... in source number 2, he says the following. Yerushalmi Paragimel, Reish Alach HaZayin, Samach Pei Zaman Aleph, HaLehosif Mosifin, HaYuchamish Anas Nasar, which was the Yerushalmi you quoted last week, Tani, and here again was this Brisa slash maybe the Tosefta, Lo Yomar Adam Lechavero, Hare Ani Imcha Besela, Hare Ani Imcha Beshekel, Aval Omer Lo, etc. And then he quotes a couple of sources. If you jump down one line, Uvaraj Bakan, Chaf Zayin Sof Amud Beis, and the Rajba at the end of Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, Hey, V.O.S. Yerushalmi velo pirushuhu. He brings the Yerushalmi, but he doesn't explain it. Aval, ba'avar asakosh, beis moed, shar beis simin daled, mem amud beis. He says, but if you look in the Rajba's avar asakosh and beis moed, kasav, he writes, V'yirai she'en nimnin af minyan b'nei adam ala behem alechatchila. The Rajba understands this to say that it seems that you can't even have a group of people, as we explained last time in this year. Lomar, nimne chamish al behem azum. And you can't tell a person, let's us five join together to buy an animal. Shezeh ke ma'asechol. That's considered a ma'asechol. Aval, right? Av shamilsa was the words that we used last week. Same idea. Aval nimnu aleha me'erev yom tov. Yecholin laosif lamachar velimnos imahem od chamisha achirim. But if they already, again, join together in their group on Erev Yom Tov, you can add more people the next day. V'chein pirish midato b'radali Yerushalmi b'mkamo, and so to the Radal explains Yerushalmi there. V'hu chidush, as we said from the Aruch HaShulchan last time, she'aser lihimanos b'shabes v'yom tov ala behema b'schum minyan shel anashim af b'li pisuk damim. It's a tremendous chidush to say that what's aser here is to actually just make a group of people without even, you know, specifying any money, v'lo owed. Ela sheperush zeh soser letosefdakan, she'goreses b'chol hanuschaos keitzad ein nimnin. Klomar hi mifareshes es ein nimnin shel mishna seinu bedamim. V'chein haven ba'orzarua hanal, she'ein habraisa b'tosefta inyan b'vnei atzmo. He says, if you look very clearly, and we're going to actually quote the Arzarua in a second in source number Dalet, because he's going to be the discussion that we center around for the rest of today's shiur. And what he basically says is, you've got a problem. Number one, it's a chiddush altogether to say that there should be any isser in just counting five people to join together for an animal. What isser could there be? Isachol is a very sort of iffy reason to say that something's usser. Number one. Number two, it goes directly against the Tosefta. The Tosefta quotes, so to say, our Mishnah says, Ketzat in Nimnin, don't do this. But Harein, you're allowed to say, Ela Omer lo Hareinim Chalamasta l'shish v'rviya. You can say we'd like to make a group of five people. So how could the Yerushalmi go against the Tosefta? Now, I'm not a Tosefta scholar. I don't know if the Yerushalmi could care the less about going against the Tosefta, to be honest with you, especially if it understands the Mishnah differently. I don't know if that's the case. It could be yes, it could be no. This is just amaratzas on my part.
So a little more amaratzas. Isn't the Tosefta earlier than the Yerushalmi?
Yes, it is. Right. But I don't know if it's that much of a significant difference that the Yerushalmi would care. I mean, the Tosefta was compiled in the first Dor of Amoraim, I believe. Again, we don't know when, I don't know when exactly this Yerushalmi was written or how much they would have cared or even known about any particular Tosefta.
Scott Berman knows, I'll ask him. He knows all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's taking courses.
The bigger issue for me, though, is regardless of that, the bigger question is sort of the Yerushalmi quotes something like this, right? So, again, I'm not totally, blown overboard by the possibility the Yerushalmi would never argue on it. The way we understood the Yerushalmi in its simple form, like the Rashba, and like many others that we quoted last time, it was just bringing this, that here's another opinion, here's one opinion, here's another opinion. So I'm not so blown over by this kasha. On the other hand, you know, it's interesting that if we have a machlokes,
he's bothered, right?
He's certainly bothered, but he's also writing on Tosefta, right? I mean, this is his life's work. So I'm not as concerned maybe as he is, but that, again, could be because of Amaratus. The real question is, though, as to what the Rishonim might think of this. Meaning, now that we've seen the Korban Asanel, who is not a Rishon, granted he's an Achron, but there clearly is another way to explain the Yerushalmi. So the question is, what way of the Yerushalmi would we prefer? And that's exactly the direction that he goes in. He now quotes a Meiri, which I didn't quote last time. He found this Meiri that I didn't see. And the Meiri actually takes up the position that we've been calling the Korban Haedas until now. Uvetamot hamarav hisbar she'im nimnu aleha bedamim. Bedamim. Me'erev Yom Tov. If they came together as a group and set a cost on Erev Yom Tov, kishebayin lechalik osah b'Yom Tov, when they come to split it on Yom Tov, rashayin laosif b'minyanam, they can add to their numbers. V'amru harei anu nimnin imachem b'mehem azu, v'yagia lechal echad chatzi hadamim shenafel lechal echad mehem esmol. And they can say, we will join with you on this animal, the same as you guys agreed to pay yesterday. You're now 5, now 10, everybody pays half. Okay, and you're allowed to do that. Rashai mein lasos kein. Vilashon Talmud Hamarav baze einimnin. That's what the Talmud Hamarav calls einimnin. That's what the Yerushalmi calls einimnin. Halehosif mosifin. And the diok from this is you can add people on. Hayo chamisha nasin asara. And now says Rabbi Lieberman. Umukach midvarav shepirah she'ein haYerushalmi cholek ala bavli beferush mishnasenu. If you look at this Meiri, we see it saying again, like we explained in the Korban Eda last time, it's not arguing Elamosif. She'im nosfu achar kach anashim mutar lihimanos. Velomar liminuyim harishonim niyayim achem be'osos chum kesef shepasakdem e'erav Yom Tov. And it's a chiddush beyond the Bavli to say that it's mutter for people to join in and say, we'll accept the same price that you did without specifically mentioning a price. That's the chiddush of the Yerushalmi. Not that the Yerushalmi is coming to add a chumrah on the Bavli, but rather it's a kula. Okay, and this is the way that he's explaining the Meiri, which is exactly what the Meiri says, or Belashon Acheres, as he says, in another way to say this, HaYerushalmi Omer, Shelo Davka Elu Shekvar Nimnu Al HaBehem Amer Av Yom Tov Shochtin Umchalkin B'neihem. It's not only those who yesterday came along and agreed on this, that only they can slaughter it and split it up between them, Alamot Elohosif Chadashim B'yom Tov. Asmach Pisuk HaDam Shel Rishon. You can add more people based on the evaluation and the splitting up of the cost of the first people. Afilu Omri Beferush Niyam Achem Lamech Salishlish Via HaKesef Shepasaktem Me'etmol. Even if someone says, "We'll give you a quarter of the money you agreed on yesterday." Ulefizeh In Sira Ben HaYerushalmi Vatosef Takana. This is how he explains the machlokes between the Rajba and the Meiri, as the Meiri being reading the Yerushalmi in a way, as we did in the Korban Eidah, that is not at all Soser. The Toseftan is not at all Soser. The Bavli, there's a lot more to go through here. Now, what's interesting is we talked about different Girsos in the Tosefta, and one of those different Girsos is what I brought in the Hagos Agra. I don't know if you have it in your Gemara there, you may have it on the side, but the Gra actually changes. If you look back in the Tosefta, it says, Kesad Enimin Alabema Biyom Tov, Lo Yomar Lo Harenim Chavasala, you shouldn't tell him. So instead of lo yomar lo, what does the Gra have, if we have it there?
Adam lechavero.
So the Gra adds in two words. It says, lo yomar adam lechavero. A person shouldn't say to his friend. Now, there can be two real impetus for doing this. I never know how to say this. I think every shir I say impetus or impeti. Impetuses or impeti. Usually things that end with us, like octopus, right, when they're pluralized, become octopi.
In particular, maybe?
Anyways,
no, that's nothing.
Well, tomato.
Exactly. So while everybody ponders that, we can ponder what the Gra was trying to do with this. Number one possibility, which is probably the actual pshat, is that he's trying to make it follow the Gemara. He wants the Gemara to be quoting this Tosefta. So what we have in our Gemaras, if you look in the Bavli, in the Yerushalmi, it's very clear. It says, Yo Yomar Adam Lechavero. So great, the Gra is saying that should match up. On the other hand, there may be another reason as to why he's specifically adding in Amar Lachaveru and why he cares so much about it. And that's what we're going to explain, starting with the Or Zarua that Ori Lieberman mentioned. But also, something that's going to extend far beyond an obscure Rishon and really into the depth of Halacha Lamaisa and the way we paskin today. So says the Or Zarua in Hilchos Yom Tov, Tani Nami Hachi, quoting again, the Gemara, Lo Yomar Adam Lachavero, in source number Dalet. A person should not say to his friend, Hareini Nimne Imcha al HaBehema Zo Besela, Hareini Imcha Bishtaim, V'hainu Kishmuel Da'amar In Poskin Ladam Biyom Tov. And this is following the opinion of Shmuel. This is all that we said was in the Gemara and the Bavli from last time, to say that this Brisa slash Tosefta of Lo Yomar Adam Lachavero is supporting the opinion of Shmuel, who says that when our Mishnah says Ein Nimnin, it means you can't set a price for the animal. Great. Aval Omer Lo Hareini Chalim Al Lemechza, and here, you know, the language is a little bit garbled here. And he shouldn't say to him, "I'm with you for Lemechza Lishulish V'Revia." Okay. The Kasav Rabbi Yitzchak Alfas, and the Rif writes, "V'Hani Mili," and this that we said, Yisrael be Yisrael, is between two Jews. Aval Yisrael Legabe Akum Aser. Says the Rif. But if it was a Jew and a non-Jew, and this is what we'll spend this year exploring, in what, in where, why, who.
Which,
exactly. And that's why I asked you first to read the Tosefta carefully and tell you who do you think is talking to who, because that's going to have a tremendous nafkamina towards this. And he says, if it's a Jew and a non-Jew together, it's Aser. Now, this is cited in the name of the Rif. And it's interesting, the Or Zarua then continues, Uvitosefta misnia hachi. In the Tosefta, it says as follows, Ketzad in nimnin ala behema lechatchila biyom tov, lo yomar lo hareini imcha bebehema besela. And he quotes the Tosefta, and that's the end of the story. This is the end of the Or Zarua, and the Or Zarua is valuable because he quotes the Tosefta b'zeh halashon.
Why, so just before we start learning the reason, why would it be us with a goy?
That's because, the question.
Yeah, so I'm trying to speculate. What would be?
Please,
one is a chumrah from Yom Tov, right, that we don't want to... something to do with the going like you have on Shabbos, right? Mir l'akum, right? Is that the possibility?
No, it's not a possibility because you're allowed to do this to a Jew. How could you possibly say it's a mir l'akum?
Well, sometimes there are certain things that you can do with a Jew that you can't do with a goy, right?
In ways of malacha? that we're saying it's not a malacha for a Jew to do it, but if it's a mira la'akum for a goy, that would seem to me very far-fetched.
Oh, I'm thinking. Okay. Right. I don't have an example. All right.
Okay, I mean, it may be that there are halachos somewhere, but it would seem to me to be a very far-fetched approach to say that, being that, again, you're allowed to tell another Jew to do this.
A goy can never join a chabura with a...
Maybe it's a chasnas thing.
Right.
Maybe. Yeah, I wouldn't put it beyond that. We're going to focus on the yontif element.
There's a different kinyan with a goy than there with a...
That I didn't see, and I didn't think of, but... I
noticed
that perhaps it would be perhaps you could argue, that's an interesting svara, to say that you could argue with a Jew, the Jew knows we're not doing any business today, but the guy is taking it 100% seriously. Maybe that's actually a very intriguing svara.
You're saying here that the guy wants to join the Jewish group?
That's what we're trying to figure out. We don't know. So, at this point, all we have is these words. Hani mili yisrael bi yisrael av yisrael agave akum asra. I'm going to continue through the next few sources.
I think it's a problem joining an Akum's group,
mm-hmm.
because what do you know? He's handling the Bema, what do you know from the Kashrut?
Right.
But for the Goy to join the Jews group, you can't. We went through this a lot. I don't think you can cook for a Goy on Yontif.
Well, we're not talking about cooking.
Well, in other words, you can't do the heterim of Ochel Nefesh.
Mm-hmm.
Are a terim for Jews, not for goyim.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but it's an animal.
But you'd be cooking this animal anyways. You'd be killing this animal anyways for you.
But now you're doing it partially for him.
Right, I believe that's okay, though, no?
You can, yeah, it is. You can't sheftaf an animal. So that part is okay.
I mean, you can. It's called not kosher shechita.
Okay, fine.
That's half a shechita.
But the phrase here is about Yisrael Gabay Akum. It's not... I think the phrase in the Or Zeruah is the way that you said it. Where it's the Jew is joining the Goy, and not the other way around. Just the way, isn't that what it says when it says, Abel Yisrael Gabay Akum?
I mean, I think it just means a Jew going together with a non-Jew in some sort of way. I want to read through the rest of the sources that say it in their various Lashonos, none of which differ significantly, and then sort of get to the discussion, if that's okay with you guys. Just hold up for another... four sources.
Okay, that
one. The first thing is to look at the Rif. The Rif, if you look through it, source number Hey,
I can handle it.
Makes no mention of this whatsoever. Doesn't seem to really differ from the Gemara in any significant way. It's hard to understand. You know, obviously the Arzuru had a different gears of the Rif. That's clearly what's going on here. Unless there's some sort of, again, magical way that you guys can come up with something to say that the Rif somehow means this. I will put forward one wild suggestion in a little bit when we get to the Achronim's take on this, but I don't believe that in our Rif there is any indication whatsoever to say Hani Mili B'Yisrael, Aval Yisrael Agabi Akum Aser. The Rush also is very straightforward, explains the Gemara very straightforward, cites the Gemara very straightforward, same as the Rif, right? Again, almost word for word. And if you look at the little star at the end, it says Hago Sashri. Says, V'han imili Yisrael Yisrael, aval Yisrael agave nachri, aser me'or zeruah. And the Gosa Shri feels this is a relevant, important point he needs to make. He saw this in the Or Zeruah, and again, Or Zeruah, for all that he's, you know, for sure, a great, great rabbi and a huge influence on Pesach, is not like the biggest, you know, completely blow everybody over source. The Gosa Shri felt nevertheless, and the Gosa Shri does quote a bunch of stuff from the Or Zeruah, apparently, he felt that this should be something that was put into the Rush as well. You know, don't forget this halacha when you look at the Rush. Now, you go to Shulchan Aruch and you think, okay, you've got the Rif, Rush, Rambam, every single other Rishon that writes Keseder on Shas on one side, and on the other side, an Or Zeruah and Hagos Ashri.
Well, the Rush looks like he's saying something similar, because he adds the Girsa of L'Chavero.
No, he doesn't. The Gemara has L'Chavero, as does the Rif, as does the Or Zeruah when he cites the Gemara.
Well, so when it says L'Yemaratam L'Chavero, I assume it's referring to a fellow Jew.
Correct, and that's going to be one of the major points of discussion. Does that Chavero mean anything? The problem is the Rush doesn't add it, the Rif doesn't add it.
Right, it doesn't add the case of the Goy, but they both say L'Chavero.
Because the Gemara says L'Chavero.
Right. Okay.
Right? So, and you're right. I'm having an argument that the Achronim are going to have over Shulchan Aruch in a minute, and we'll see it. But I side with the Achronimus say that's not enough of a reason maybe to say that. Perhaps it is. You know, we'll definitely discuss that. If you look in Shulchan Aruch says, as he says, exactly what we said last week, and we skip down to the Haggah at the end of source number Ches. I was rushing so we could get back into it. That was the shortest five sources I've ever had in a Beit Sashir. Says the Rama, V'yesh omrim d'davka Yisrael l'gabe Yisrael shari ki haigavna. Aval Yisrael im eino Yehudi afilu b'ki haigavna aser. When is it mutter to say, again, Ela machalek lahem shlishios or revi'ios kefi hachalakim? When can you say we can all come together to split an animal if it's a Jew and a Jew, but a Jew with a non-Jew would be aser even under these circumstances, quoted from the Hagos Asheri, Perek Ein Tzadin. And this is the Rama. Now, again, I'm not so well-versed in Shulchan Aruch, but it seems still a little bit strange to me to try to push Hagos Asheri and Or Zarua as normative halacha not mentioned. Now, your point is very well taken. It could be that this is the das of all of those Mefarshim.
So wouldn't it in some ways explain what is the concept behind the whole, I wouldn't say it's not cheating, but it's taking it away from Mekamech, but really it is, but it isn't, right? I mean, in some ways it's what it's doing is saying that with a Jew, right, you're allowed to do certain things because a Jew will understand what it means, whereas the Goy might not understand what it really means.
Yeah, I hear that Sfara. We'll say something very similar. My guess is the reason how it made its way into Shulchan Aruch is because, number one, you have the Arzarua saying it in the Rif.
Right, but I'm trying to understand what's the concept behind it.
So that's going to be basically from here the rest of the Shir.
Fine.
You'll probably appreciate the Tiferes Shmuel the most.
Who's the Tiferes Shmuel?
Perush on the Rush, who quotes on this Hagos Ashri. Yeah, I mean, that's the last source of the day, but there's a lot of stuff to be covered in between them.
No.
You should continue asking questions. I'm not trying to brush you off. I'm just saying, if we don't get to that, you know where you're looking.
I'm just trying conceptually what's
right.
What is it?
And what would be
the spark? Relation between a Jew and a Jew that's different than the relationship between a Jew and a God?
Okay, so. Says the Pri Chadash. My favorite so far. Are you guys familiar with the Pri Chadash?
Yes. No. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody know what the Pri Chadash is famous for?
No. What's
violently arguing against the Shulchan Aruch as well as making demeaning statements about anybody that he disagrees with. Most notably, you know, Rishonim.
And he was an Ashkenazi?
No, he was a Sephardi. He was in Egypt, I believe.
Of course.
And he did not he was not very happy with Shulchan Aruch as an advent. And he wrote very strongly in a number of places around Shulchan Aruch against, you know, either Gedolei Acharonim and sometimes Gedolei Arishonim, basically saying, that's nice, you don't know what you're talking about. In this case, he's actually very calm, and he's very nice. Umash Akasa Ve'yesh Omrim is source number 10. Behagos Ashri Biperek in Sadin. This is found in the Hagos Ashri in Perek in Sadin, which we're learning. Ahadam Rinan Shiyomar Adam Lachavero. On this, that we say a person should say to his friend, Hareini Imcha Lemechza Lishlish Vilirvia. On this, that we said, you know, I can split it in half, a third, a quarter. Kasa Vehani Mil Yisrael Yisrael, Aval Yisrael Ligabi Nachri Aser Adkan. Velo Yadati Machiluk Yesh Ben Yisrael Laakum Ledin Ze. Says, what's the difference between a Jew and a non Jew? So what could be the Isser in telling a goy this? This which you brought up before, both of you actually, and Baruch Shekivanu, right? The Pri Chadash says, not a problem to shecht a behema that's half owned by a Jew and by a non-Jew on Yom Tov.
That could be a chetchila. That's when you said that. It could be a chetchila. You want an animal with a goy, so you have no choice but to shecht the animal if you want your half and he has his half. But you already own the animal to let him in on the deal, and now the chetchila you're saying to him, you can join us, we'll shecht for you. It could be a different story.
So the Pri Chadash doesn't understand it that way, as evidenced by his next words. He would say, no, if it's mutter to shecht, it is mutter to shecht, there's nothing wrong. He would probably say, if you have two animals, and one's fully owned by you, and one's owned with you in a partnership, he would say, there's no difference. Whichever one you want to shecht, you're welcome to shecht. That's the way he seems to be looking at it. you know, it's, you know, reminiscent of, you know, is it Hutra, is it the Chuya? I'm not saying that as a, like a halachic chilek, I'm just trying to bring up the concept. To say that it wouldn't be a problem, according to him.
When we learned the concept many years ago, I don't know how long ago it was we did that,
mm-hmm.
it's because shchita is something that you can't divide up. To do a kosher shchita, mm-hmm. the fact that the goy owns it is irrelevant, because for you to get your portion, you have to shep the animal.
But here you have a situation where if you say to the goy, no, then you don't have to shep the animal in favor of the goy. He doesn't already own it. You have your animal, and the goy wants in.
So, right, so this case is
so
different.
We're going to shep, yeah, so we don't have to. But he rejects it, like you say. He doesn't
see. Yeah, I mean, he very clearly rejects it. He seems says that it's completely 100% lechatchila. And again, I would venture to say that in that case, he would say, if you've got two animals, one which you own, and one which you own with the guy, you say, shech either one, it doesn't matter to me. And he clearly says, he doesn't understand as far, why would you be mechalik between the two? What's wrong? You say it to a guy, he doesn't have a payas, like, well, what's the difference? And he quotes another quote, right, he desof perakin tzadim deholechadam etzal chen v'ni haragel etzlo v'etzal haroi haragel etzlo. Kasim mefarshim dein chiluk bin ro v'chen v'ni akum l'ro v'chen v'ni yisrael. He says, if you look there at that case, you can totally go to your regular non-Jewish store owner and buy stuff from him, you know, I mean, in this way, right? Okay, so now he says, fine. Up until now, we've said completely rejectionist, this doesn't make any sense. And if you're going to tell me pre-chadash, you're forgetting you didn't look in the Gemara. The Gemara says, lo yomar adam l'chavero. So if you're going to tell me it says, lo yomar l'chavero, chulo, lav diyukai, shadiber behove. I looked up, there's a lot of lo yomar adam l'chaveros, and very many of them are not exclusively due to a Jew. It's just someone saying to someone else. Number one is lav diyukahu, shadiber behove. Number two, oh, deim mishum rebusa deresha. Right, you might think it's because of the Rebusa Deresha. I'm not sure exactly what he means by this statement, to be perfectly honest with you. My guess is it's in response to the Mishnah. Right? Right? In Ketzad in Nimnin, Lo Yomar Adam L'Chavero, I'm not sure why the Chavero makes it any better or any worse, but my guess is to say, you know, that we're talking about two people coming together in a group. I don't know why that makes it any better. To me, the stronger point is Dibur Behove, and maybe this is also Dibur Behove, but I don't really have a good grasp on what that means. Says, you know what? I don't care. You don't have to follow the Raman this one. And if you've got a little bit of extra meat that you think is going to go bad and you're going to get lost and you need another person to join your group, isn't they? Walk over to the Akum and tell him this.
It sounds like that's Dafka, he brings out what could be Dafka the Isser here.
Right.
Because here doing Mecca for Mecca, if you're doing it with a bunch of Jews, so they're all trying to have simple shots. You're not trying to sell meat to a Jew. But if you do it with a...
Excellent.
But he himself is bringing this up, because he says...
No, he's saying that there's no problem with Mekach Umamkar here. Right. If you're allowed to do it to a Jew, you're allowed to do it to a non-Jew.
But you're not selling to a Jew.
The logic doesn't make sense to me, based
why not?
On... Okay, so... With a Jew, you can't do it and say a sellel or anything, because Mekach Umamkar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's a kula from your Shalmi that says if you phrase it in a way that you're getting a third or a quarter, whatever. So for the sake of Simchas Yontov, they made a kula, and even though that may appear...
Whoa.
You said at the beginning it's a kula.
Simchas Yontov? Who said it's because of Simchas Yontov?
Okay, I added that.
They're saying it's Medina, it's Medina. It's just not Mekach Umamkar. It's a kula, but the kula is because it's not Mekach Umamkar.
Yeah, but the reason it's not Mecca Mecca, I agree with Howie, is because they want Simchas Yantav.
And Hanami, it's generally motivated by that, but it's not like because of Simchas Yantav, we said you could be Mekel and do even this. They're saying that's not Mecca Umamkar.
They're doing the kula for a reason. And a kula does not apply to a goy.
So for goy, it'd be selling. You're actually doing a selling thing. Here, you couldn't say Simchas Yantav, but you're it's more of a transaction.
So I... This is going to be one of the points of Machlokas, as we're saying, and I don't deny that. To me, I if you look at the case, it sounds like you can't even tell the guy, join me. Never mind with money. Forget about money. We don't see even see the Ramah saying, this is said in the simplest form as saying, I'd like to get half the animal. It's not, the Chiddush of the Yerushalmi is not what we're discussing here. This Shulchan Aruch is not talking about the Chiddush Yerushalmi that you can say, I'll join you at the same price you guys said yesterday. We're talking about the simple Bavli or the other reading of the Yerushalmi, to say that it's just talking about, I'd like you to take half the animal. To me, I still see eye to eye with the Brich Hadash, and I say, you know what? That's not the case. If you want to talk about the Kula of the Yerushalmi, I'll give that to you. Fine, granted. I still don't actually agree with you, but I'm willing to give in for that, for the sake of for where we are. But I don't think you can say that about to tell someone, do you want half the animal? How can that be Mekach HaMemkar?
For a goy, because his mom is going to pay you for it.
Yeah, and so is the Jew.
Yeah, but the Jew, like you said, is doing it.
We've tried to phrase it so it's not Mekach HaMemkar
for the Jew, but not, yeah.
But it's impossible to phrase it not Mekach HaMemkar for the goy, because it's like...
Why? You didn't tell him a word of... You didn't say the word dollars. You didn't say the word cents.
Yeah, but for the Jew, you realize that you want to be involved in the Sudas Yontif. Can't say for a goy you're trying to get involved in the Sudas Yontif.
Yeah, you are. You want to be able to have a Sudas Yontif, but you're not going to slaughter a cow if you can't get rid of the other half of it. You're taking $1,000 loss.
Okay, so sometimes
you're... It's the same kula for the...
In terms
it's the same kula for the Jew. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying the next Mishnah where he talks about Mali Likli, about Lola Bermida and all stuff. But Goy, can you do that with a Goy also?
We'll have to talk about that.
No, I'm just wondering if there's a, you know, I think it's relevant in some ways.
I mean, that's the case that he's discussing here, right? Tolech HaRameitzel Chen V'ni HaRagil, not Ragil, and I don't know enough about it, though I didn't look far enough.
We'll add it next week.
We'll get at it next week. That's what I figured. Truth is, maybe I should have done a little bit more research in that element.
No, not at all. Please.
But in terms of understanding this, I hear the Pri Chadash's point. That being said, says the Magen Avraham. And by the way, if we talk about this here, who's he referring to when he says that you're joining together with a goy? Is that a goy in the Chabura? Or you're buying from a goy, or you're selling to a goy, or what?
You mean the...
Did you see anything in the Pri Chadash?
You mean in the last line?
Yeah. What's he talking about?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, because his lashon is different. Because first we're talking about dividing it up by fractions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying he's using lashon mutar lemochra liakum, not lechalekim akum. Or
very good. And therefore, what?
Therefore, he's going into he's changing gears here. He's not talking about the Anakum joining the group.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about leftover meat after they divide it up and not letting that meat go to waste. And
right, so he's somewhere between a seller and part of the Chabura. The first lesson sounds like 100% he's joining the Chabura. Now, the reason why it's beneficial for him to be joining the Chabura is so there won't be any leftover meat.
Right.
Which he's then equating to say, you know what, for all I care, sell it to him afterwards.
Sell it to him already, yeah.
So... Again, Misfarad kind of fits in. Either way, you know, you're telling him, do I let you join my Chabura, or do I not let you join my Chabura? I don't think he's talking about literally after you slaughtered the animal, you know, you're bored, say, can I sell you some meat, sir? Although maybe he would even say that. I'm not 100% sure, but certainly I picked up on that. But one thing he's not saying for sure is he's not talking about the buyer.
Okay, well, not if you're bored. I mean, he's not it's not a trivial heter that he's giving. He's saying that it's a hefset that... You know, you're going to lose...
No, he's giving it lachatchila. Shameka lo hifsid. He's saying, for sure you should, for sure it's mutter, you know, to do it. And you don't have to worry about the Ramah if you're going to have a hefsid. But he even says, make a lo hifsid against the Ramah. I think he would go even further. Again, the Pri Chadash doesn't pull punches. He holds that there's no reason for this, there's no svar for it, so forget about it. Now, here we get to the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is very interesting, because you have two mefarshim in the Magen Avraham. Anybody know? I love playing trivia with you guys.
What?
Two mefarshim on the Magen Avraham. Go.
Machzir Shekel?
Machzir Shekel, we're going to see in a moment. And?
The Shekel himself. No, just kidding.
The other half. The Prima Gadim in Eishel Avraham. So I didn't quote the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim, you know, he's pretty straightforward on the Magen Avraham here, but I did quote the Machzir Shekel. And we're going to read the Magen Avraham, and we're going to read the Machzir Shekel, and frankly, I honestly don't think we have the same text. I cannot piece the two together in any way. Says the Magen Avraham, Im Akum, quoting, you know, commenting on the Ramah here. Perush, Yisrael Aser Lomar LaAkum Hareini Imcha LeMechza LeShlish VeLevia. Very clearly, he says this means a Yisrael can't tell an Akum, I'd like to join together with you, for a half, for a third, for a quarter, V'nira LiHatam. And it seems to me the reason is. Mishum de'ein ragil lehishtatef im ha'akum. Normally, when the Jews would go together to buy an animal, they'd buy it with each other. So therefore, mechzi tfei kemekach umemkar. It looks more like mekach umemkar, meaning an outsider's concern. It doesn't look nice. It looks like you're doing mekach umemkar. Are you doing mekach umemkar? Bevaray not. But it looks like it because you're not usually splitting an animal with a guy, so when you're doing it here, that's the reason why it's usser. Ulevush pirish, which we're going to see just after this in source Lamed, and the Levush explains, she'aser limkor la'akum b'chi ha'gavna basar kasher. You can't sell an akum kosher meat. Ein so simen tafza design, v'diyuko, shel, haga, midiktani, omer adam l'chaveiro, mashmalim ute akum, chavasei diyuk b'perakama, da'avodas alilim, and he gives a couple of other places where he can be medayik in chaveiro. So he says the Ramaz comment is very simply, it says chavero. Chavero means a Jew, not a non-Jew. And what's the sfara for a non-Jew? He says you can't join in a chabur with a non-Jew because it looks like a mekach umemkar. Not that it's any more mekach umemkar than actually doing it with a Jew. But because you don't usually do it with a non-Jew, so it's more similar to mekach umemkar. And for that reason, they said it was usser. Okay?
I don't understand why you can't just say, like we were saying before, that you get a bunch of Jews getting together and dividing an animal on Yom Tov, you can't do it, divide an animal on Yom Tov for Yom Tov. You do it with the goy already. It definitely is mekach umemkar. I think this is exactly the same vein, let's say, as the whole arguments we made before.
And I think that's what the Levush says, as we're going to see.
Okay, but just so I understand the Mekin Ephraim, mm-hmm. he's saying it for both sides. Okay, in other words, we've been ambiguous on some things,
mm-hmm.
but he's saying that one is you cannot have a goy join your group,
mm-hmm, that's
and
correct.
You cannot sell to a goy.
Yes, okay. What was sort of mixed up in the Pre-Chadash, mm-hmm. he's quoted both. He's quoted his view, saying that you can't split it with a goy, and he's quoted the Levush's view that you can't sell it to a goy. Okay, let's just keep that very organized. I actually have a little chart here, which I didn't give you guys, that just for my eyes only. But
next time, send us the charts.
Yeah, we like charts.
You like charts? Okay.
Yes. Rabbi used to give us charts all the time.
I know, but it kind of takes out all of, you know, the learning up of each of the sources. I feel like it's almost like cheating at this point.
Yeah, but afterwards, it's not...
No, so afterwards, I think it's excellent. I'll send it out after the shiur.
Right.
I'll send it out after the shiur. Thank you. Yes. So, I think that's pretty clear, right? You said that's
30% or 40%, it's fine.
Right. I'll leave some blank for you to fill in, right? It'll be like my class.
We're too old to be tested.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't mean it that
way. Right?
We're working their PowerPoint.
So, right, what you just said is excellent, is bang on. We see the Magen Avraham talking about splitting, and we see the Magen Avraham quoting the Levush talking about selling. All set? Let's read the Machzis HaShekel. Super commentary on the Magen Avraham. Zeh im Akum. Perish Shah Yisrael. Asr Lomer La'akum, right? Ulefiz Deh HaBehema Shayachas Legoy VeHagoy HaMoicher. What? Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know what he's reading.
What does the Chule mean?
The Chule is the quote from the Magen Avraham.
Yeah, but, okay.
So right, the first two words of Magen Avraham, Pirish Yisrael, Pirish Yisrael, the Chule. Right? I don't know what he's reading.
The only way we can explain this
is by going back to the original Tosefta that we talked about.
What he says, she's... Perish Yisrael Asur Lomer La'akum Harayim Chalav Mechta L'Shish Revia. That means the Goy owns the animal and he's selling to the Jew.
Right.
L'fizah Behema Shayechet L'Goy.
Correct. So that's what I'm going to explain now. Up until now, and just 1 minute ago, before we mentioned this Mouse as a Shekel, you all agreed, it's on the recording, that what the Magen Avraham said...
I don't want this recorded anymore. This is...
Exactly. Yeah. What the Magen Avraham said, we're talking about two people coming together in a chabura to buy from a third party. Could be a Jew, could be a non-Jew. We didn't say anything about it. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying it's clear as day that, of course, this is what the Magen Avraham's talking about?
Well, the first part is right. Asur lamarka hanrei imcha lamechsa. Seems that it starts with him.
Yeah. Sounds like it's a guy, right?
I mean, that's why I distinguish between the first part and the last part. The first part is with the goy, and the second part is selling to the goy. One is getting from the goy, and the other is selling to the goy.
So you would say that this means buying from the goy?
The first part of the Magen Avraham, the second part of the Magen Avraham means selling to the goy.
I must have misunderstood you a minute ago then.
Okay.
The way I understood you is that the Jew and the goy are joining together forces to buy an animal from a third party. You're saying that's not the case?
No. The first part.
Okay.
So I'm saying the Magen Avraham takes both ends of this.
So what would you say about my case? or he joins together with him.
It's not a possibility here. In other words, Magen Avraham
talks... I know Magen Avraham's not talking about it. What would the Magen Avraham say then?
He's saying you can't deal with the goy at all.
He's saying both, right? So you can't.
You can't deal with the goy no matter what.
Let's say that you mean like three Jews and a goy going to buy behemoth from a third party.
Yes, that's what I think the simple read of Tosefta is. I read that in the Pri Chadash. I read that in the Magen Avraham.
If the third party is a Jew,
mm-hmm.
so there wouldn't be a problem, I don't think. But if the third party is a goy, then again you have the Jews buying from goyim,
and it's not permitted.
Correct. So I would favor that interpretation of the Magen Avraham Svara, but then you're going to come out that according to the Magen Avraham, which to me makes zero sense, it's mutter for a Jew and a non-Jew to jointly buy an animal from a Jew.
No.
It's nonsense.
I'm not talking about Yontif. Yes, on Yontif.
Well, the same method as you do before. You post like the dumb before, and then you come the next day, and then you divide it up. And it's not that they would just go and buy it from him.
We're talking about splitting it up. I take 50%, you take 50%.
But then you'd have a problem because the Jew is selling it to the goy. In other words, I might be okay to go with the goy.
So that's what you guys are arguing.
I'm basically saying that the Magen Avraham is saying that under no circumstances can you do anything with the goy. Period. Nothing.
Well, let's
why not?
Let's take what someone said before. I think maybe, I don't remember who said it, whether it was Sam or whether it was Gerard,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, how is it being thought of? If it's a group of Jews doing it,
mm-hmm.
then they know something about the distinction between saying an amount of money or
mm-hmm.
saying we're dividing it into fractions, we're dividing mm-hmm. the pie up. But to a guy, no matter what you do, it's going to seem like a business transaction, like a sale. Whether the guy is the mocher,
but the problem is that's not what the Magen Avraham says. It's very beautiful,
it's
what the Lavush says, and you can certainly read that into the Hagos Asherin. You can read it into the Raman. You can read it into the Arzarua. But you can't tell me that's what the Magen Avraham is saying.
I read it into the Magen Avraham.
Please. So what does that mean?
From any direction, it sounds like.
No, it sounds exactly the opposite. Why is he saying "Dein ragil ishtatef ma'akum"? What does that have to do with anything?
Okay.
And if he's ragil?
Okay, but the functional.
The function is mechzi. Yes, mechzi tfei. Not it is more mekach umemkar.
No, to the goy, it looks like mekach. That's how he thinks about it.
You're saying this is to the goy?
Yeah. I understand mechzi tfei. Like you say, you know,
mechzi is a halachic term. Mechzi ki yura, mechzi ki shikra.
Yeah, that it's marasayan or it's yeah.
Because that's what he's saying.
No, but that's not how I understand it in the context.
If I was writing it, I would write it entirely differently. I'm very sorry. Right? I mean, look at this. Right?
Mechzi ki minumar. I understand the halachic
concept. Sorry.
Exactly. But I mean, if you look at the Levush, Dam Yatfei Lemasa Umatan Im Hagoy. That's the way I might write it. I would not write it as because in Ragil Hishtatef Mechzi Tfei. It's talking about an outsider's Maris Ayin type view. I don't think that's debatable in the Magen Avraham. I mean, obviously it is debatable, but I don't.
Been debating it for the last 5 minutes.
Exactly. Right? I was going to say I'm not willing to budge on that one either. On the other hand, I think there are two ways to read the Tosefta, there are two ways to read the Brice and the Gemara, and there are two ways to read this Magen Avraham. One way to read the Magen Avraham is Yisrael Aser Lomar La'akum Hareini Imcha Lemetzel Shush Ruvia is two people as part of a Chabura buying from a Jew. I think that's a simple reading of the Magen Avraham, I think it's a simple reading of the Pri Chadash, I think it's a simple reading of the Tosefta, but the Machtes HaShekel, I believe, is reading that when you say Hareini Imcha be whatever, it doesn't mean I'm joining together with you in a Chabura. It means I would like to buy this amount of animal from you.
That's right.
Okay, and I think that's how a number of you are understanding it. Now that we've seen the Machzis HaShekel, before I saw the Machzis HaShekel, I said, of course they're talking about two people coming together to purchase from a third-party Jew. Again, not to purchase, to join in together on a third-party Jew's animal. Now I say, I'm not sure, maybe it is talking about coming forward to buy. The problem with that is, we are forgetting where we came from, we're forgetting what we started with. This is being brought as a support in the Gemara. When it's within the Bavli, and we're talking about it's all about Psikas Damim, right? And lo yomar lo harini imcha b'sel harini imcha b'shdayim. If we're really referring to making a chabura, then this is completely out of place. If you're reading this price as harini imcha b'sel harini imcha b'shdayim, harini imcha l'machzor shlish v'raviyah, is referring to a Jew telling another Jew, I would like to buy an amount of meat for you for a sela, or I would like to buy half this animal from you, that's not supporting the Gemara. Certainly not supporting the Yerushalmi. Maybe you could argue it's supporting the Bavli, but then you have all the questions of the Tiferes Yisrael that we started with last time. To say that, if this is not talking about a Chabura, which you're now all telling me is Pshat in the Magen Avraham and is Pshat in the Tosefta, then what's it doing there? That's the problem, I think, with reading it, Harini Imcha B'Sela. The way I understood Harini Imcha B'Sela to begin with is that this is a group of people. I am joining you in buying the animal from him. And if that's the case, I think that that's something which fits in very well to the Gemaras to explain them the way that we did. But so to say, like we're saying, like the
Shtatev and Malkum means a one-to-one relationship, or you're saying...
Not the Shtatev, to join together in the Chabura.
In the Chabura.
And if that's the case, I think he's talking about buying from an Akum.
Right. If you don't have the Chabura thing, I agree with you, because then the whole thing doesn't make sense.
Right. So then the problem is, if you want to interpret the Magen Avraham like this, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, is that what the Tosefta is saying? Is that what the Gemara is bringing the Brisa for? Is that what the Yerushalmi is bringing the Brisa for?
That's what the Machazit HaShekel is saying, what he's saying. He's explaining the Magen Avraham.
Right.
And in his first line, he's saying, he's talking about specifically that it's as if he's buying it from the Goy. So it's not...
I don't disagree. I just think that that's an untenable read of the Magen Avraham, because to me, the Magen Avraham is talking about two people joining together. That's why it says, Mishum Dein Ragil Lihishtatev, and if I remember correctly, and now I should have brought the Prichadash on the sheet, but I believe the Prichadash understood it that way as well. The Primogadim in Eshel Avraham understood it that way as well. Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to take that read of the Magen Avraham and say, why is that any different than the Gemara? So that's sort of my two cents on the Machzor Shekel. I do believe the Machzor Shekel can be read the same way as you guys just read it. I think, though, you have to ask yourself a lot of questions about the Tosefta and the Gemara then, and what the Gemara is trying to say. And if the Gemara is really bringing this as a raya and saying, yes, this proves that you're allowed to go to one Jew and say, I would like to buy half an animal from you. Or if it's coming to say, no, this means you can go to another Jew and say, I would like to join together with you to buy an animal from a third party. And to me, the second one fits a lot better in the Gemara, fits a lot better than Yerushalmi, fits a lot better than Tosefta. That doesn't mean that the Machzor Shekel has to agree with me. Obviously not. K'mo shekasev v'hagal, let's continue. Rosh Lomar, d'chein mash, masham apirish, lo kapir shalavushim mevi achar zeh. And he says, why did he write K'mo shekasev v'hagal in those little brackets there in the Magen Avraham and Yud? Machzor Shekel says, why did he write that? To write that he thinks that's what the Rama means when he says, Davka Lisrael Ligabi Yisrael Shreke Agavna. Avla Yisrael, what's the next word back in the Rama in Source Ches?
Im Eino Yehudi, doesn't it?
So what is Im? The same question we have here. Hareni Imcha. Is Im to mean purchasing from an Eino Yehudi? Or is Im to mean together with an Eino Yehudi? Right? However, whichever stand you take, says the Magen Avraham, it doesn't mean that an Eino Yehudi is purchasing from Yisrael. That's for sure what it doesn't mean. And therefore, says the Machzor Shekel, he rejects the Levush. And in fact, if you look at his wording here, Ulevush Pirush Ipcha Shel HaBehema Shel Yisrael V'ha Yisrael HaMocher. And if this was in fact his Girsa on the Magen Avraham, I understand now why he made his original comment of saying the Goy is the seller. Because he says, Levush Pirush Ipcha. Ipcha means the opposite. Before, the Goy was the seller and the Jew was the buyer, the Levush says, no, the Jew is the seller and the Goy is the buyer.
Okay, when you're making a Chabura, let's say we're talking about Chabura for a second. When you're making a Chabura, how does the ownership work? In other words, you have not divided the animal yet. Is there a way that you can interpret that if you're doing a Chabura with a Goy, that the way that the Machatzit HaShekel is saying it, it's considered as if the Goy owns it, and you're dividing it up and doing a share with him. And is there a logic to that? In other words,
that's an excellent path. I hear that. That's okay. Not something I considered. And what essentially, if I understand you correctly, we're trying to say is like this. Perhaps when joining together with someone in a chabura, it's almost like you're buying it from them. Meaning, they were going to buy the animal, and you're saying, I'd like to go 50-50 with you. And in that way, that wouldn't resolve things, yes.
Okay.
I didn't think of that. Excellent point. Yeah, I mean, the problem then arises, I shouldn't say that that's 100% perfect, the problem then arises as to, you have to play around with that a lot. Meaning, what makes someone the owner in the chabura transaction then?
Which I don't know.
And how is, right, because then the question turns next is, how is the Lavush saying the opposite? It can be the exact same relationship that Lavush could be understanding in the exact opposite direction.
Which
so
is
that's
exactly,
right, that was your
so
point,
that
I guess.
So that fits with what Machatzis Shekel is saying. In other words, he's right. Explaining one, and he's saying his view of this transaction
right.
Is the Goy has main ownership, and that's why it's
right.
Usher to do it no matter what. And the other way of looking at it is the Jew has the main ownership, and the Goy is just buying it from the Jew.
Wait, what makes it Usher to do it if the Goy has main ownership?
Well, because the actual, it's Mechaf Amemkar. It's not.
It's Mechzi Tve. I argued that point already. That's the same argument we had. Back to that same argument. But if you look in the Lavush, now let's flesh this out and finish up quickly, because it's already quite late. I don't think we'll get to see the Elia Rabba and Elia Zuta, which, more trivia, who are the Elia Rabba and Elia Zuta and what did they do?
Father and son.
The truth is, I actually don't know who wrote them. I think they're written by the same person or people very similar in time and space.
You know.
I will have to check that up. See, now I just gave myself some homework. But they're both super commentaries on the Lavush. I mean, if you consider the Lavush a commentary, Lavush is not really
but
a commentary, it's a rewriting.
Mr. Burr,
yes, because they're, right? Yes.
Not
maybe they're quoted.
So much, but they're rabbi all the time. Right?
Yeah. And both of those write on the Lavush.
Right.
Lavush is also a rewriting of Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Says the Lavush, and we'll just jump to Venir Ali. Venerally on the second line in source Lamed Dafka Basar Kasher Shiachalim Karli Yisrael. It's specifically Basar Kasher that you're able to sell to Yisrael that you're not allowed to sell to a non-Jew. Shekevan Sheyesh Lo Konim Yisraelim Lo Ratzulahatir Masa Umatanim Goy. Although we've been talking about everybody can celebrate now, the Lavush said there's Svara, right? Because you've got Jewish buyers, what are you selling it to a Goy? Didam Yatzfei Lo Uvda Umasa Umatan Shochol. That's much more. Masa umatan, right? For all the svaras that we've been saying until now. Avo b'mekomos she'en sham menakar Yisraelim lenakar ha'achorayim. But parts that you can't sell to Jews. Yecholin litin b'chiyai gavna ha'achorayim legoyim below pisuk damim. Those you could give to a non-Jew without pisuk damim. And here's where it kind of gets iffy. Because if we're saying that it really looks more like masa umatan, why does this help that you can't sell it to a Jew? So it's still hard to understand. On the other hand, that's why if you look in Elia Rabba and Zuta, there's discussion in Elia Rabba, especially came with Shemochron Leisrael Mishum Eva. You know, there may be that may play a role. The point is, though, he seems to understand it more of an actual Gzera of Masa Umatan. It itself is Masa Umatan, not looks more
look
like it.
In the last line, he agrees with that. The ale.
Right.
Shehitir
Sapa Mishum Trilasa, Shalai Yavale Menahem Simchas Yantav, Layer Sulish Kotbe
Emos Okay, so back to Simchas Yantav.
Right.
Right.
So it's Kulas.
Correct, and he really follows through again on pretty much what everybody here was saying the whole time. This is a Lavush. Lavush is much discussed. You can take a look at Elia Rabba and Elia Zuta after the Shir. I'm sorry we won't get to them. I just wanted to point to Sefer Shmuel, who had a different Svara that I thought was actually bang on, and I was surprised that no one actually quoted it. And he says the following, just to complete the Shir here. Says the Hagos Hashri, in the Hagos Hashri, V'hani mil Yisrael, Yisrael of Yisrael, 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 Pirsh digabi Yisrael, have shinui ki hai gavna, v'lo have kemekach umemkar. Says, when it's a Jew, this change is not going to make it ois mekach umemkar. Aval agabi nachri, afilu ha Yisrael omer kach, even if the Jew's saying it, mikomakam hanachri zocher pisuk damim, v'ein yicholes v'yad ha Yisrael limchos bo v'have kemekach umemkar. You're not going to be able to stop the guy from getting involved in business here. The Jew, he knows what's going on. He knows you're not supposed to be using money. He knows you're not supposed to be talking.
We talked about that. No,
yeah.
We did.
I assumed.
And I told you, you're going to like this this chat. Again, how interconnected all of these reasons are as to saying they're more Mekach Umemkar for this reason, for that reason, I don't know. I think the emphasis of the Tiferes Shmuel is more to say on a practicality level, this is not a good idea, because you're going to tell the guy I want half the animal, he's going to say, what's that, about $600? And that's not something that's going to happen with Jews. So regardless of what, as far as we may say, it's mechzik mekach memkar, it is more mekach memkar because you're doing it with a non-Jew, because you could have sold it to a Jew, so it shows that you're trying to do business, not just trying to engage in Simchas Yontif. Again, like you were all saying, there's that balance. There's also the balance of a practical situation. I think that may be one of the reasons why we're, again, so machmir on something that really doesn't seem to be the path that most, you know, major posts can take. But yeah, we're willing to say maybe it's not such a practical idea, and that's also a reason as to why we would avoid it. Okay. Go ahead.